and welcome to a VO's Journey podcast. My name is Anthony Pica, and this show is all about helping the new and upcoming voiceover artists grow their business and sidestep all the crazy things that this guy seems to step on. I wrote a book. I wrote a fiction book called Code of Conduct, and it has just released. I just put it up on Amazon. I published it myself. Because you know I'm that kind of guy, and I'm super excited to tell you about that, and you know how this is going to translate into an audiobook, and what's happening with following another part of my Avio's journey, right? So, all right, well, you know what? Without further ado, let's do it.
This is Avio's journey. With your host, the incomparable Anthony Pica.
All right. It has been, you know, it's been forever and a day since I've done a podcast. So I'm really excited to be back doing another one. I think this is episode number 250. Oh, goodness. 252, I believe it is. Maybe. Yes. Something like that. I'm very excited. See, now I've got to look it up. What episode? Because, see, that's how I roll. I'm just like, hey, I'm just going to go out there and say it is episode 252. I'm excited about that. I think the last podcast was last month, but I am thrilled. I've been busy. And I wanted to come on and talk to you guys today about writing a book and why I did it. You know, what does this have to do with my voiceover journey and all that jazz? And I'm excited to tell you about it today. So I, as you guys have known and you followed me, it has been such a fantastical ride so far in the voiceover world. And I love it. And it is something that I will do my whole life. So, you know, I every day I wake up knowing it's the right thing. And that in itself is a blessing. When I first started in voiceover, as you guys know, if you followed me any, that I did a lot of audiobooks. That's all I did. And I wanted to be an audiobook narrator. And I became one, right? And I've done hundreds of audiobooks, a bunch under my real name, a bunch under pseudonyms, a bunch, you know, that were bought out by other people who use their own names, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I absolutely loved it. But I think as time went on, and I think maybe most of us go through this, you know, we get that feeling of, well, either we're burnt out in doing audiobooks, or like for me, I think what happened was is when I first started too, I really enjoyed the idea of royalty share, right? I wanted to create a stream of revenue from royalties, you know, because I think from a marketing standpoint, you know, I think we have to resign ourselves to the point that we're going to be marketing in some way or some form for the rest of our lives. And marketing can be in the form of branding. It can be in the form of a podcast. It can be in the form of social media posts. It can be in the form of emails. And it can be the form of putting yourself up on Fiverr and all this different places. You know, but we're going to be marketing ourselves in one way or another for forever. And, you know, you kind of resign to that. But there's different streams of revenue that some are more passive than others. And I like the idea of doing audiobooks where I was narrating them and I got a royalty share, you know, a share of that royalty from sales on a monthly basis. And I thought that, you know, if I could do that, I could build a check every month that would come in. And it felt so much more stable to me. It felt like a good use of my time. And of course, at the time, it was good because, you know, I had such a crazy schedule that audiobooks just fit that constraint perfectly. But I think what I started to realize was, like, for example, on Amazon and Audible, through ACX, you get 7 years as an audiobook narrator. Okay, you get 7 years to have the rights. And then once the 7 years is up, the rest of that half of the 40%, for example, that you get from Audible for royalties, goes back to the author or the rights holder. So basically you split 40% of the royalties, and so you get 20%. So like if an audiobook was a dollar, you get 20 cents for every sale of the audiobook. But after 7 years, which is a long time, 7 years is a long time, then that reverts back to the author or the rights holder, who then gets back to the full 40%, right? And then you're out of it. Well, you know, I think for me, I liked that up front. But I realized over time, I was like, well, you know, I'm just not going to have a lifetime, or I can't copyright that stuff because I don't own the material. You know, I don't own it. It's not mine. It's the author's, it's the right holder's. And part of me, you know, loves the performance. I mean, that's a part of me, which I'll always love as the performer. But then part of me too, maybe as a businessman or somebody who's, as I get older too, you know, I keep thinking about what am I able to build, you know, for my business, is owning the rights to things. And I think also it's been heightened recently, especially with AI, right? With me whole, you know, I want to own the rights to my work a lot more than I did. You know, when I first started, I was so willy-nilly about selling, you know, my voiceover work. And I still recommend this when you get started, because I think that you've got to get yourself out, just like any other business, right? You got to get yourself out there. But when I first started, you know, I sold everything, you know what I mean? And I didn't care too much about the rights to my work. Because in all honesty, it wasn't even really my work. It was just my performance, which is still, you know, something that is your intellectual property. But I wanted to own the rights to books and then be able to own the rights to the narration, right? Because I figured the only way to own the rights to that narration would be to own the rights to the books or the stories that you publish. So, you know, it had always been a dream of mine too, a long time ago, to publish stories, books, plays, things like that. And that's always been something that I've wanted to do. But I've never done it because it's really intimidating to write a book or a story and put it out there in your words. And it's one thing to finish a story, it's another thing to put it out there and then see if people actually like it or not. You know, you don't know. But I want to tell you, the title of my book is called Code of Conduct. It is available on Amazon. It went up live yesterday, and I'm so thrilled and blessed for the community that we have, because it's hit the number one new release on Amazon for mystery, thriller, and suspense in the 45-minute short read category. And so it's 40, you know, it's a short book. It's 45 minutes. It takes about 45 minutes to read. And it's going to be a series. And I'm just blown away, and the support and the people seem to really be liking it, and it's selling. So I'm thrilled. And I'm really excited. It's so funny, because I went back on ACX and I had to open a new account in order to do the audiobook, right? So, well, first, on a side note, if you are interested, I'm going to put a link in the description. If you're interested, it's Code of Conduct by Anthony Pica. You can find that on Amazon if you want to pick that up. I think it's like $2.99 for your copy, and you can read it on anything, even if you don't have Kindle. The paperback, I don't have a paperback coming out at the moment. I think I might, after, like, you know, a few more books come out, I might do it in paperback, but just because, I mean, it's only 25 pages or so. So it's not like it's a thick, thick book or anything like that. It's just a short read, but, you know, so you can view that, on Kindle or any device, actually. So, you know, that's that. But then I went to ACX and I realized that you have to actually, I don't know if you guys knew this, but you have to, when you're an audiobook narrator, right? You go on ACX, you have your account. Well, you can't be, they don't allow you to have an account on ACX that also lets you be the rights holder, which means you have to open a separate account as an author, not a narrator, okay? Or producer, as they call it. So I had to open a new account on ACX as an author to, you know, claim the rights of my book and, you know, put out an audiobook with, you know, me being the rights holder to it. So I thought that was an interesting little take. So if you ever are interested in that, now you know you have to open a separate account. I don't know why ACX does this. Kind of chalk it up to one of the many things I don't understand about ACX. I mean, why they do the things they do. But, you know, I'm assuming it has to do, as always, with getting names and everything mixed up. But anywho, so I went and did that, and I'm super excited. So I decided that I am not going to narrate my own book, that I'm going to hopefully use multiple people to narrate my book and, you know, hire voice actors through Avio's Journey Elite Academy and, you know, down the road, you know, just hire voice actors in general, because I think I really, really enjoyed writing this story, and I'm already, you know, starting to plan out and outline the next story in the series. And, you know, I thought it'd be so cool to have like other narrators, you know, narrate your, you know, narrate my book and put together kind of like a radio play type of story. I love to direct. I think it would be a blast. And there's different characters in the book, you know, and fun characters. So I'm excited about doing that and getting other people to participate in that narration. And it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a new stream of revenue. Does this change the fact that, you know, I'm still doing voiceovers every day? No, it doesn't. I still do voiceovers every day. You know, we're still doing amazing things at Avio's Journey Elite Academy. We're still running Academy Voices, right? The agency part of the Academy. You know, still doing all the things that we're doing. But this book is just such a fun part of the journey. And I think the biggest thing I learned from it is, you know, I was scared out of my mind, but I came to a point where I was like, look, I need to create this stream of revenue because I want to own the rights to it. And, you know, I was like, I can't write. So here's kind of what, let me tell you what happened in the process, because I thought this is pretty unique. So basically I decided, you know, a few months ago that I was going to write a book, a short story, and, you know, try to publish it. So, but I didn't have a lot of time, and I thought, well, what could I do? I could use a ghostwriter, right? I would come up with the synopsis, the storyline, the outline, and then I would use a ghostwriter to write the book, right? To write the story. And then that way, because I didn't have a lot of time, I could invest money and build that asset. So I searched and I found a ghostwriter through a company that writes blogs for Academy Voices that I work with. And I sent it to them, and they sent, you know, the writer worked on it and sent it back. And you know, the writer did an okay job. And I looked at it and, you know, I reviewed it, and I kind of put a panel of some friends together, and we reviewed the work. And then I realized looking at it that even though I thought in my mind it was a good idea to work with a ghostwriter or, you know, people in general when you're trying to leverage, you know, something you don't have time to leverage, you know, it was a good idea. But I looked at it and I was like, you know what, it's just not me. It's not my words. It's not me on that page. You know, it's someone else. And that just kind of, you know, and again, as the ghostwriter did a fine job, but it just wasn't me. So I realized that I needed to, like, put all of that aside, kind of, you know, not throw it away, but, you know, just kind of put it away and just write me write it. You know, I need to rewrite the whole thing. I need to do it myself, because I didn't, you know, I thought that after I went through that process, I thought that I would feel differently about it. You know what I mean? But I didn't. I felt like, you know, that was not me. It was someone else. And I wanted my work to be me. So I put it aside. And I started just from the beginning, and I rewrote the whole thing. And then I wrote another draft, and then I wrote another draft, another draft. And then I read it and edited it over and over and over, and edited it. And this is for 25. I mean, I hope down the road to write a novel, you know what I mean? Cause I'm having a lot of fun with this, at least the writing and creating the story, and it's really cool. It's a lot of fun. But it was a lot, even for 25 pages, it was a lot of editing, and just, you know, constant rewriting and stuff. And so I just learned a lot, and this was just my first one. I mean, to think about the authors who have written hundreds or thousands of books, it blows my mind, but you know, it definitely has been an incredible experience. And so going back to the ghostwriter, you know, I thought it was a good idea, and I don't think it's a bad idea, you know, for people. But I think what I realized was I had spent money, you know, because it costs money. And, you know, when I got the first draft, when I got the draft back from the first draft from the narrator, that it was not, you know, just like anything else. You know, you're not going to ever use your first draft. I mean, it's going to be rewritten and rewritten. You know, that old adage, you know, a story, a book, or even a play is not written, it's rewritten. Well, I mean, I was like, okay, this is a start, but there's a lot of things I want to do differently with this. You know, I'm going to try this, let's try that. And then I went back, and the person too was like, I'm totally agree, but I need way more money. And I'm like, man, I can't, you know. And that was another thing too, because it cost a lot of money. And I was like, I can't afford that, you know, to spend that. And I don't even know if anyone's going to buy the thing. So, you know, it was just, that was another part of it too. I'm like, I just can't spend the money on that, and not even knowing what was going to happen. And then I wasn't even sure, if I even liked the direction that's the story was going in on the first draft. So I think that's kind of another thing that I realized up front too, was that I think it is a good idea, but if you're going to use a ghostwriter, I think you need a bunch of money. You know, like, you probably need a couple thousand dollars, and that's for a short story. Like, if you want to do a novel, I mean, you know, you really need a lot of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And in fairness to them, I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of creativity. It's a lot of effort. So anyway, so I decided that I was not, you know, I chalked that up to a very expensive lesson that I learned with the money, you know, because I, you know, the authors, or the ghostwriter still did work. You know what I mean? You know, he still wrote words, and, you know, that was still work that they put in, even though I didn't use it. They still put in words, so they still earned that money. But, you know, I realized that I needed to do it, so I wasn't going to pay them any, you know, I wasn't going to continue to pay any more money, because I knew it had to be me. So that was a vital lesson that I learned. And I will say, as a lesson to tell you guys too on this journey, is that sometimes in the real world, I have definitely learned that learning is expensive. It is. I mean, as you guys know, learning, is it worth it? Hell yes. I mean, even though I didn't use the ghostwriter, I learned such a valuable lesson for a variety of things. Like, it forced me to learn a process. It forced me to realize that something that I had thought for such a long time about myself, or about what I could do or what could possibly be done, was some of the parts were correct, some of the parts were not correct. Like, I realized that for me particularly, a ghostwriter for a fiction book from my idea was just not going to work. It had to be me writing it, not someone else. And that was a personal thing, my personal decision, right? But I also realized that at the same time, I could pay a ghostwriter to write a story. You know what I mean? And that can be done. But then also that the amount of money that it would take in order to get a story, you know, to do multiple revisions, multiple drafts, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be way more expensive than I thought it would be. And unless you have some sort of massive audience or something, you know what I mean? You're going to struggle with making your money back. So that was something that I learned. And I think that was really a great lesson, you know. And again, it also forced me to look at myself and say, you know what? No, I have to do it. I have to be the one who does it. So that really helped me just leaps and bounds. And it goes back to, you know, my voiceover business in general and your voiceover business. You know, we have to invest money. And a lot of times we invest money without knowing what we are going to make back from it or not. And sometimes you're going to lose money. And that's just kind of like, that's the way it is. But that doesn't mean that you can't still learn a lot from it, or that you shouldn't invest the money in the first place. right? Because there's something about investing money that makes it real and makes something important, like even more important, right? Because that old adage, put your money where your mouth is. I'm not saying we go out and spend money willy-nilly. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes we do need to invest money to learn and to grow. It's super important, you know, and, you know, take, for example, Vio's Journey Elite Academy. I mean, that has changed my life, and it has changed so many voice actors' lives, and it's such a great place, you know, a breeding ground for education and growth and success. And on top of that, what I'm really excited too is about, this is where, you know, the audiobooks, I'm going to work with people from the Academy, you know, to do the audiobooks for this and moving on, as well as, you know, getting work from Academy Voices. So, you know, really look at investing some time and sometimes money. Don't invest money you don't have, but, you know, don't be afraid to invest money to learn. It's a valuable lesson. Sometimes it can hurt. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I look at me, gosh, why did I even spend that money when I ended up doing it all myself? But again, the realization I had was that it had to be me. There couldn't be a question in my mind. And what that money did was it erased the question in my mind that the book had to be done by me and no one else. All right. Or I wasn't going to be happy with it. Okay. So that was it was a valuable lesson, and it was a good lesson. It was worth the money. So everybody, if you do find it interesting and in your heart to check out the book Code of Conduct, there'll be a link below, or you can just look it up on Amazon. What's so funny too, on a side note, I didn't even think there's actually a bunch of, cause it's a good title. I think there's a bunch of books called Code of Conduct. I mean, none of them are like, you know, what I wrote, but they're still named Code of Conduct. So, but you type in Code of Conduct by Anthony Pica. You know, it's a 45-minute read, and it's in the mystery, thriller, and suspense section. I think it's like 15 in mystery, thriller, and suspense. I think it's like number 37 now in literature and literature and mystery or something like that. And 110 now in techno thrillers or something like that. So it's really exciting and really fun story. It's about a man named Marshall who uncovers this code that will literally kind of change the world, but there's so much mystery around it, and he decides to do the right thing, but because of that, you know, the forces, the powers that be, they come after him, and they come after him hard, and they come after his fiance, and it's they kidnap her, and there's just all kinds of twists and turns already, and then, you know, it ends. I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but just know that there's more to the series. So it's an exciting book. And it moves very quickly, great action, and at least I like it. So check it out if you want. I'd appreciate it. And let me know what you think. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And happy last day of February. We'll move into March next month, huh? And kick it off with a great, great March, and St. Patrick's Day and Easter's coming up. So looking forward to that. All right, everybody, have a good one. Take it easy. Peace.